Okay, everybody, we're on Daf Heyamud Beis. We're 8 lines down from the top. The Gemara told us last night, the bottom of Heyamud Aleph onto the top of Heyamud Beis, that Rebbe did 3 things, right? Rebbe, first he planted a tree on Purim, then he took a bath in Tzipori on Shevasar Batamos, and he wished to move to Shabbat. And we discussed a little bit what that meant to uproot to Shabbat last night. So the Gemara here says 8 lines down from the top, Heyamud Beis, V'Rebbe Heichanata Natiya B'Purim, and how did Rebbe plant a tree on Purim? V'atani Rav Yosef Simcha Meshta V'Yom Tov. The Pasuk in the Megillah says that Purim was adopted Simcha u'mishtev yom tov, joy, festivity, and yom tov. Simcha malamit shasurim behesped. So Simcha, joy, tells us that they were prohibited on Purim from giving eulogies. Mishtev malamit shasur betanis. Festivity tells us you're not allowed to fast on Purim. V'yom tov malamit shasur b'siyas malacha. And yom tov taught us that you're not allowed to do malacha on Purim. So if you're not allowed to do malacha on Purim, then had a Rebbe play it. In fact, the Gemara here is assuming, the Gemara will assume for the majority of this Amud, that you're not allowed to do malacha on Purim. Ella, Rebbe bara beisar haba v'chinata b'cham meisar nata. So the Gemara says, no, because really there's 2 days. Remember, we've learned there's at least 2 days. The 14th and the 15th could already be. Earlier people could read Megillah, but there's a 14th and the 15th. And so Rebbe was supposed to read on the 14th. His holiday of Purim was on the 14th. And when Rebbe planted, that was on the 15th. So Rebbe was telling us that you only have a prohibition of malacha on the day that you're celebrating Purim and not on the other. The Gemara says, Aini, is that really true? V'Rebbe b'Tveriyava. Rebbe lived in Tveria. V'Tveria m'keves chom yos Yeshua ben Nun. Tveria is a walled city. So Rebbe couldn't have been planting on the 15th. Rebbe had to keep Purim on the 15th. So the Gemara says, Ella Rebbe bar chameisar havi v'chinata bar chameisar havi. No, really, it's the opposite. You're right. Rebbe had Purim on the 15th, and so what Rebbe was planting, that was really on the 14th. But the lesson is still the same. Umip shitalei the Tveria milchomas Yeshua ben Nun hava. Is it really true that Tveria was a walled city from the days of Yeshua ben Nun? V'chizkiya kar b'Tveria bar beisar u'b'chameisar mesafkalei mukevas chomis Yeshua ben Nun heyilo. V'chizkiya read. He also lived in Tveria, and he read Megillah on both the 14th and the 15th because he wasn't sure if Tveria was a walled city from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That's a fascinating halacha. That if you're not sure if it's walled in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, then you read on both the 14th and the 15th. So the Gemara says, L'chizkiyah mesafkalei, but L'Rebbe b'shitalei, you know, L'chizkiyah was not sure if it was a walled city days of Yeshua ben Nun or not, but Rebbe thought obviously that it was a walled city. V'chi b'shitalei mishari, and let's even assume for a second that Rebbe thought it was a walled city, and so Rebbe thought that you have to keep Purim on the 15th in Tveria. So is it really so obvious that you're allowed to do malacha on the 14th? V'ksiv Megillas Tanis. In Megillas Tanis it says, Es yom arba asar v'yom chamisha asar yom epureinon. The 14th and the 15th of days are Purim, de lo misperuhon, that you're not allowed to have hespin on them. V'omar rava lo nitzuchel alesar eshol zeh bazeh v'yeshol zeh bazeh. And what Megillas Tanis really come to tell me is that you're not allowed, you're prohibited on both days, right? You're prohibited on the 14th and on the 15th. So even if you're doing Purim on the 14th, you're still prohibited on the 15th. If you're doing Purim on the 15th, you're still prohibited on the 14th. So the Gemara says, yeah, hani mili behesped of etanis. When we say you're prohibited on the other one, that's in terms of hesped and tanis. So you're not allowed to do eulogies. You're not allowed to have a fast day on neither the 14th nor the 15th, regardless of when you're having Purim. Of a malacha yom echad v'sulo. But with regard to the prohibition against malacha, so only one day. You only have a prohibition of malacha on one day. So if you have Purim on the 14th, you're not allowed to do malacha on the 14th, but you are allowed to do malacha on the 15th. And if you have Purim on the 15th, you are allowed to do malacha on the 14th. Tosis over here points out the riyamaslach shasurim behesped that this is why we don't say tachanun on both days, because just like there's a prohibition of hespin on both days, so there's also, we don't say tachanun on both days. So we don't say, even though we do Purim on the 14th, right, here in New York, we do Purim on the 14th, but we won't say tachanun not on the 14th and not on the 15th. So the Gemara says, Eini, is this really true? Varev chazya lahu gavra davaka shadi kisna bipuraya vilatye. So Rav saw that there was a fellow planting flax on Purim, and he cursed the fellow's planting, vilot samach kisne, and the flax didn't grow. So the Gemara is trying to prove that there's a prohibition of malacha on both days. And that's why Rav cursed the fellow, even though he had Purim on one day. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what happened. Hasam bar Yomav, he was planting on his day of Purim. Let's say it was the 14th or the 15th. The Gemara doesn't say. Whichever day he had Purim, that was the day that he was planting. But really, you are allowed to do malacha on the opposite day. So Rava Bere de Rabba Omar Afilu Tema Biyome Hesped Vitanis Kiblu Alayu Malacha Lo Kiblu Alayu. And this is now what we're familiar with, right? Rabba Bere de Rava said that even if you think that Rebbe planted on his day of Purim. So let's say Rebbe was in Tveria And let's say Rebbe, like the Gemara seemed to assume up until this point, Tveria read on the 15th. So Rebbe could have even planted on the 15th because they never accepted Purim as a day of Isser Malacha. They accepted Purim as a day where you're not allowed to have Hespen and Tanis, but they never accepted Purim as a day of Isser Malacha. And you could already see this in the text of the Megillah, because originally when the Megillah talks about the holiday of Purim, it says Simcha u'mishta v'yom tov. It says all three, Simcha, Mishta, and Yom Tov. Again, Simcha would teach us you're not allowed to do Hespin, Mishta would tell us you're not allowed to do Tanis, and Yom Tov would teach us there's a prohibition of Malacha, u'vasof k'sib. But later on in the Megillah, it says La so sam, yimei mishta v'simcha. And later on, it says that they accepted Purim to be days of Mishta and Simcha, which would prohibit eulogies and prohibit fast days. V'ilu Yom Tov lo k'sib, but it doesn't say Yom Tov the second time around. So therefore, you see that they never accepted the prohibition of Malacha on Purim, and that's why Rebbe could have planted on Purim, whichever day it was. Ve'ela Rav, my time of Gavra. So then the Gemara asks, wait 1 second, but we just told us that Rav cursed this guy who was planting flax. So if there's no prohibition against Malacha, even on your day, then why would Rav have cursed that fellow? So the Gemara answers, wow, that's fascinating. The Gemara says that really it's mutter, but there were locales where they accepted a prohibition of Malacha anyway. And so Rav was in one of those locations. And so when you have something which is really mutter, but the community has accepted prohibition, so you're not allowed to go against the community in that fashion. And so even though really there is a heter to do Malacha on Purim, in that locale where Rav was, they accepted a prohibition against Malacha on Purim. And so once the community accepted that prohibition, so you're not allowed to go against that. Uva Asrei de Rebbe, lo nog, and in Rebbe's locale, meaning in Tveria, they never accepted such a prohibition, and that's why Rebbe was allowed to do Malacha on Purim. V'ibay semeli olam nog, and maybe really even in Tveria, they might have accepted a prohibition against doing Malacha on Purim, which means that Rebbe should not have been allowed to plant on Purim. But the reason why Rebbe was allowed to plant on Purim, because Rebbe netia shel simcha nata, Rebbe was planting a planting of joy, kidetanan, because we learned in the Mishnah, avru elu v'lo na'anu mimatin, b'masu matin b'ni netia b'irisinu v'nisuin, that if these days, meaning if there are days in Eretz Yisrael where they don't get rain, so then they start to add prohibitions. They start having fast days and davening, right? And then they stop, they minimize in business and in building and in planting and in weddings. Vitana Allah, binyan, binyan shel simcha. What, and then we learn that with regards to those prohibitions, what kind of building are we not allowed to do in those days where we don't have rain? A binyan shel simcha, or netiya, netiya shel simcha. A building of joy or a planting of joy. And the Gemara explains, Ezu binyan shel simcha. What is a building of joy? Zabona beis chasnus livno. It's building like a chuppah kind of thing for your son. Ezu nitiya shel simcha. And what is a planting of joy? Zenota arbunaki shel malachim. Building like a garden to go relax and to enjoy. So you're not allowed to do those things, building or planting of simcha, when we're trying to pray for rain. But what the Gemara is saying is maybe when they accepted a prohibition of malacha on Purim, they did not prohibit building which was for simcha. The whole idea of the prohibition of Malacha on Purim was to assist with the concept of Simcha on Purim, and so building which would have added Simcha was never prohibited. And so we have three answers up until this point, right, for why Rebbe did Malacha on Purim. One is because he did Malacha on the opposite day, so if he had Purim on the 15th, he did Malacha on the 14th. Second is, no, it was okay for Rebbe to do Malacha because they never accepted a prohibition of Malacha in Rebbe's locale. They never accepted Purim to be prohibited in Malacha. Some locations did, but others didn't. And then finally is this last answer, that they may have had prohibition against Malacha, but that prohibition against Malacha never included building or planting which was for Simcha, and that was what Rebbe did. Good. Now the Gemara says, Gufa Chizki Akari B'Tveri Barbeis Over Chameisar Miskafle Mukeves Chomim Yeshua Bin Nunhi Ilo. So Chizki read in Tveri on both the 14th and the 15th, because Chizki was not sure if it was walled from the days of Yeshua Bin Nun. Umi Misafkele Milsa to Tveri. Is it really true that Chizki was uncertain about whether Tveri was walled from the days of Yeshua Bin Nun? V'aksib V'arei Mivtzar Hatzidim The Pasuk in Yoshua talks about these fortified cities. They are Hamas, Rakas, and Kinereth. The Kaimalon, and we learn that Rakas zu Tveria, that one of these three cities, the middle one, Rakas, is really Tveria. So the Gemara says, so you see that Tveria was a walled city in days of Yeshua Ben-Nun. So what was Chizkiah uncertain about? So Haina time of the Misafkalei, no, this is why Chizkiah was uncertain. Mishum dechad gisa shur de Yamahavis. Because the Tveria is only walled on three sides. The fourth side is the Kinereth. The fourth side side is water. So he wasn't sure if that was considered a walled city. So ihachi amai misafkale, but if that's the truth, then why was he uncertain? Vadei lav chomehi, obviously it's not walled. The Tanya, because with regards to the laws of Bato Yare Choma that we already saw last week, asher lo choma, the pasuk says that it has a wall. Velo shor igor, and can't be that the houses of the city make up the wall, meaning the wall needs to be separate from the homes of the city. But if the homes of the city are built in a way, circle, square, rectangle, doesn't matter what the shape is, that the outer walls of the homes create the walls of the city, that is not Batei Arichoma. Batei Arichoma needs to have a separate wall around. Now, saviv, that the wall goes around the city, prat l'Tveria, sheyama chomasa, so that excludes Tveria, that doesn't have a wall that goes all the way around the city, because the sea, right, the Kinneret, provides one of the walls. So you see that with regards to Batei Arichoma, you need to have an independent wall that goes all the way around, and not the water. So what was Chizkiah concerned with? Obviously, Tveria should not have been Batei Arichoma. So it should not have been a walled city from days of Yeshua ben Nun. So the Gemara answers, le'inyan Batei Arichoma lo Safkala. Obviously, when it comes to Batei Arichoma, you're right, like we just learned, Tveria would not be considered Batei Arichoma. But Kikama Safkale, what Chizkiah was not certain about is the Indian Mikra Megillah, whether the definition of a walled city for Mikra Megillah is the same as the definition of a walled city for Batei Arichoma. Why? Because the Megillah says, my prazin umay mukafin. The distinction in the Megillah is between cities that are prazin, that are the outskirts, as opposed to mukafin, the ones that are walled. So the ksivi gabi Mikra Megillah, mishum tahani miglu vahani lo miglu, is that the definition of prazim as opposed to mukafin when it comes to Megillah is because these are miglu vahani lo miglu. They're open, right, revealed, as opposed to not open and not revealed, vahanami miglu. And this doesn't have a wall that goes all the way around, so Tveria would be considered a revealed city, not a walled city. And they would read on the 14th, odilma mishum tahani mignu vahani lo mignu, or maybe the distinction is really about being protected, vahani nami migna, and Tveria is protected because it does have the water on that side. That's what Chizkiah wasn't sure about. Is the distinction of walled cities about having a wall or is about being protected? If it's about having a wall, then Tveria doesn't have it. But if it's about being protected, then Tveria is. So similarly, just like Chizkiah wasn't sure about Tveria, Rav Asi wasn't sure about Hutzel, and he read both on the 14th and the 15th. Ikad Amar Rav Asi, Hai Hutzel Deves Bin Yamun Mukevis Chom Mis Yeshua Bin Nunhi. Right? Others said that Rav Asi said that Hutzel in Beis Bin Yamun is a city. I'm not sure exactly where it is. So it was walled from the days of Yerushua bin Nun. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ki avina talya amina milsa, deshilin lesebi, vishtachich kavasi. Rabbi Yochanan said, when I was younger, so I said something that we checked amongst the elders, and they thought it was correct. And what was it? Chamas zutferia. V'lama nikra shema chamas, al shum chame tveria. That chamas is really tveria. Now you remember, before we just said that Rakas was tveria, right? Those three cities, we said that Rakas was tveria. Now Rabbi Yochanan is saying that chamas is tveria. It's not going to change the analysis that we just learned, because tveria would still have been walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, at least on three sides. But what it's going to change is which is which. So the Gemara is going to talk about that right now, right? So one is, why did they call it Chamas? Because it has the Chamei Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria. Rakas zu Tzipori. Rakas it's Tzipori. V'lemnikr shema Rakas. Why did they call it Rakas? Mishum de miyadla ki riksa denara. Because it was elevated like the banks of a river. It's on a mountain. Kinneret zu ginusor. And Kinneret is ginusor. V'lemnikr shema Kinneret. Dimitike pere ki kala dechinre. They called it Kinneret because the fruit were very sweet. Good. Amar Rava, miik olamand amar Rakas lav Tveria. Can you really maintain, like Rabbi Yochanan just said, that Chamas is Tveria? For sure Rakas is Tveria. V'ha ki shachim inish hacha, because when somebody dies in Babel, hasam safti lay in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say a hesped. When somebody died in Babel, this is what they used to say. They used to say, Godol hu b'sheshach, he was a big fellow in Babel, b'sheshach, v'shem lo b'rakas, and he had a name in Rakas, and that was in Tveria they used to say that. So obviously Rakas is Tveria. V'chi masak arona l'hasam, and when somebody used to die in Babel, but be buried in Tveria, so they used to bring people to bury in Eretz Yisrael, right? The safti lehachi. This is how they used to say a hesped. They used to say Oavei Sridim. Rashi says that means Oavei Yisrael, those who love the Jewish people, who love Israel. Yoshvei Rakas, the inhabitants of Rakas, tzi'u v'kiblu aruge omek, come out and accept those who died in Babel. So you see that they refer to the people of Tveria as Yoshvei Rakas. And so obviously Rakas is Tveria. Kinoch Navshe de Rebbe Zera, Posach Alayahu Safdana, and when Rebbe Zera died, so the people giving, one of the people giving Hespit for Rebbe Zera, he said, Eretz Shinar Hara Violada. The land of Bavel gave birth and raised Rebbe Zera. Eretz Tzvi, the land of Eretz Yisrael, Gidla Shashuel. It raised him and made him more beautiful. Oina La Imra Rakas, Ki of the Klichem Dasa. Woe is to Rakas, because it lost its beloved vessel. It lost Rebbe Zera. So you see again that Tveria is Rakas. Ella Amar Rava. But Rava said, Chamas zu chame grar. Chamas is not Tveria, like Rabbi Yochanan said. Chamas is a different place. It's chame grar. Rakas zu Tveria, like we just proved. And Kineres zu ginusar. So now again, Velomenik Roshema Rakas. Why is Tveria called Rakas? Shafilu Rekonin Sheba Malayan Mitzvahs Kirimon. Because even the Rekonin, the empty people of Tveria, were filled with mitzvos like a rimon. Were filled with mitzvos like a pomegranate. Even the lesser people in Tveria had so many mitzvos. Okay, we'll pick up here tomorrow.